on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? Welcome back. It's another edition of the YokeCast podcast. This week, we get a dive deep into tennis with a couple of senior tennis players who had really solid careers at the University of South Dakota, and both are coming off of senior day performances last week, so we'll talk to them about their careers and their plans for the future as well. Tennis didn't end up this year where they had hoped, lost a couple of really tough ones during the course of the season, a couple of one-point matches against Oral Roberts in a 4-3 loss, and North Dakota in a 4-3 loss, and, you know, had one or both of those gone differently, South Dakota would be in a different spot, and they'd be getting themselves ready for the Summit League Tennis Tournament. Coyote Tennis, of course, has been really solid. You know, they had a solid year when you look back at it. A couple of wins over teams like Missouri State this year. They had a win over Utah State. They beat UConn. They beat Creighton this year. Lost to the yearly favorite and champion Denver only by one. So they've had a lot of success up to this point. Last year were runner-ups not only in the regular season, but the Summit League Tennis Tournament as well. But before we dive into the interviews with the two tennis players that we had a chance to catch up to, how about a shout out to the Coyote Sports Hall of Fame inductees, the Henry Hyder Coyote Sports Hall of Fame that were announced this week. Big congratulations to Elizabeth Hoffman-Nicholas from the swimming and diving team for the women, the men's swimming and diving team member Dirk Kraft. Also from women's track and field, Jasmine Moosley-Koopman and Alexa Dooling-Williams. Congratulations to them. Kendall Crittenbrink-King didn't play that long ago for Coyote Volleyball, but phenomenal career, and she's going into the Hall of Fame. Dan Radigan as a special contributor, and of course a couple of football players as well. Tyler Starr and Noah Shepard, who had great careers at South Dakota. Congratulations to them. They are set to be inducted into the Coyote Hall, Sports Hall of Fame, and that on-campus ceremony will be held next year in October. They'll have that ahead of a matchup with Illinois State for Coyote football. So congratulations to all of those individuals on their induction into the Henry Hyder Coyote Sports Hall of Fame. This week, I had a chance to catch up with Grace Chaddick and Bea Havlikova from women's tennis. Let's start with Bea Havlikova from the Czech Republic about her Coyote career, which has been a sensational career, and also her plans for the future. Bea, you're coming off of wrapping up your tennis career at South Dakota and senior day last Friday, and you know, a lot of people have talked about the attendance and the crowd and the energy that was brought to that match. How would you describe senior day from your standpoint?
You know, I have to be very honest, it was incredible. First of all, we have never ever had such a huge crowd, which I'm really grateful for. I think it's kind of like a new thing. It's called Code Red, and at least it's kind of mandatory for them to come and support other matches. So I am like really grateful. Obviously, it was very helpful. They were cheering for me, supporting me, and I beat a girl I have never beaten in my whole college tennis career. So it was just incredible. I still can't believe it. Obviously, we were a little bit short on the win as a whole team. We lost to Denver 3-4, which I'm obviously a little sad about. But otherwise, I have to say I enjoyed the day.
Overall. Really nice day, good energy. You get that win and you close out what has been really a sensational career at South Dakota. And you've won a lot of matches in doubles. You've won a lot of matches in singles. You look back at your career, I'm sure it's hard to believe that it's over, but how would you describe your career at South Dakota?
So the 4 years, it flew. I remember I came here, I was a freshman, and now I'm just done, which is incredible how fast the time flew. But otherwise, I'm really grateful for the people I met here, especially for Brett, for the coach. He was very supportive, and I am that kind of player. I cannot have a strict coach like that would keep yelling at me or be mad, which Brett is, thank God, the opposite. He was really supportive and always tried to get the best out of me. So I want to say just one big thanks to Brett, yeah, for this.
You look back at, you know, your opportunity to go to college and play tennis, and I don't know if you can remember back to when you were selecting where you were going to go. What was that process like for you, you know, coming from a different country into the United States to be able to play and ending up in South Dakota, which you probably had never visited prior to coming here for college, I would guess. But what was that process like that led you to South Dakota?
So first of all, I have to say I did not play tennis 2 years before I went to college. I was really sick, so I had no idea if I'm gonna play tennis ever again. But then thank God my health status got much better, and I knew I don't wanna end up with tennis. But I also do like school. I do enjoy the education, so I was like, okay, let's do college. And then Brett messaged me on Instagram because he saw that I am looking for universities through my agency. So he messaged me, we set up the call, and I really liked his personality. And I did not honestly think about the place at all. But I just saw the rankings that the educational here at USD is pretty good, and I liked Brett, and I was like, yeah, let's do it. So kinda easy process, I have to say.
Easy process. What was the transition like for you to adapt to the United States, to the University of South Dakota, a town like Vermilion? I don't know where you came from or how it compares, but what was that transition like?
So I do come like from a small city in the Czech Republic, but obviously I was shocked when I came to the States, because the Midwest culture it's a huge culture shock. But I think I am kind of the type of person who can adapt to things very well. So I was just trying to do my best at school, at practices, and not to overthink stuff. And I think I did a good job.
You've made it work, and you've adapted it exceptionally well. What is your future now? Do you look at continuing to play tennis? Is it off to a different life outside of tennis? What do you hope to do next?
Yeah, so I want to keep playing tennis, especially I'm playing the German League. And now my brother, he's convincing me to play UTR tournaments with him, which is kind of on the professional level, but I'm not 100% sure about it. But I want to keep playing the highest leagues in Germany and the Czech Republic. And I also applied for medical school in Germany, especially for natural medicine. The school should start in September. So yes, those are my plans, and I am excited. What is the future gonna bring me?
You mentioned you couldn't play tennis a couple of years before going to college. Prior to that, though, has tennis always been a part of your life? How did you get involved in playing tennis?
So my mom, I remember, that's a story. She came to me to the kindergarten, and she was like, okay, you were just gonna start playing tennis. She took me to the tennis courts in my hometown, and I kind of like it. Like, my parents, they have never had to force me to play tennis. It was just love at the first sight. I started playing when I was 6, I believe. So yeah, love at the first sight.
And it certainly worked out well for you. And unfortunately, you didn't play for a couple of years. Was it hard to get back into the flow of it when you were able? You said, thank God my health got to where it did. Did it take you a while to get back to where you had been?
So I have to say, to be honest, I have handy hands. So it was not like really hard to grab the tennis racket and hit the tennis balls. But what was hard was the conditioning. happening, you know, like like once you stop, it's really hard to get back. So I had to start doing plenty of conditioning, which is not my favorite thing at all. So yeah, it's my response.
You gotta get back into shape. That's everybody's challenge in life, right? They always say the two dumbest things you can do is start working out and stop working out, because you go through pain on both sides of it, right? Yes. How do you practice tennis? How do you now, as you continue to go forward, is it always finding a teammate who will play? Are there a lot of individual drills that you can work on? What's kind of your approach to continue to work on your game?
So definitely I think you need a coach and you need to have a lot of individual practices, like if you wanna take tennis seriously. But otherwise, I think sparring is a great way. My brother, he's a tennis player at Florida Atlantic University, and he's also coming back home. So I have a huge opportunity I can use to just hit with him, which he is obviously much, much more better than me. But that's a huge chance for me to improve. So yeah, I think you need individual practices and then some high quality sparring partner, and then obviously do conditioning.
You mentioned going to medical school in Germany, and you talked about being a nurse. What sparked that interest? Why into the medical field?
So back in the Czech Republic, I went to a nursing high school, which I successfully finished. And then I started working in a hospital for almost a year. And I kind of just didn't like the approach, how the patients are just being given medications without trying to find the actual root cause. And then I got really sick, and I was trying to find a solution and visited over 60 doctors over 2 years. And I just, no one just could help me. They just offered me medication. So I had to change my lifestyle completely. I'm living non-toxic lifestyle, not eating any processed food, and like really, I'm like really trying to live healthy, you know. So my biggest goal is now to have my own ordination where I could see my patients in a person and help people to reverse chronic illnesses as well when they can't find answer when they see normal Western doctors. Yeah.
Is your goal then to practice eventually back home in the Czech Republic, or kind of where do you hope to end up?
So the school and also the major I want to do, it's only in Germany. So it's a 2 years program. It's called naturopathy, natural medicine. So I hope to finish and graduate successfully there. It's a master's program. And then we will see where I will end up. You know, you never know where life is going to take you. But I'm excited. I think you shouldn't be scared of your future. I am honestly really, really excited. What is the future going to bring? And we will see where I end up. One thing I think I know 100% is that I'm going to end up in Europe. But which country, I cannot tell you.
Well, Europe it is. I know a lot of people have appreciated seeing your success over your career. Everybody who's followed results has seen your name all over the place in South Dakota tennis. So we appreciate, you know, you spending some time here. And good luck in the future, whether that's with tennis, the medical school. I know that's a big goal for you. Good luck with all of it. And thanks for the time.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Go ahead.
That is Bea Havlíková from the Czech Republic, has spent her whole career at South Dakota and has been great. If you followed women's tennis results at all, for South Dakota, you see her name towards the top all of the time, and she is up towards the top in both doubles and singles victories in a Coyote career. So a great career, certainly, for Bea Havlíková. I also had a chance to catch up with Grace Chaddick. She transferred to South Dakota from Central Oklahoma and has spent the last 3 years at South Dakota.
Grace, you just wrapped up the tennis season, and you look back on it. How would you describe this year and really in general your time at South Dakota?
I'd say it was pretty enjoyable considering I was only here for 3 years, but I liked every year, just became better and better each year, and I became friends with the girls. And like that, I think that also contributed to me doing well on the court with having supportive people around me each year.
You played your first year at Central Oklahoma. What was the draw to come to South Dakota move to where it's not warmer for tennis and all of that. What made you want to come to South Dakota?
Well, Brett reached out to me, and I honestly thought, like, he was a great person, and he obviously is a great person. And I connected with his family, and it made me feel like it was going to be, like, home here. So I, even though I'm 8.5 hours away from home, I can at least, like, have someone here, even if I don't feel like I'm home.
What has it been like if people look up and down the tennis roster for South Dakota? There's not a lot of Americans on the roster, right? You get teammates from all over the Czech Republic and Brazil and Ukraine and all over the place. What has that been like for you to really get to know people from literally all over the world right here in South Dakota?
I guess just even growing up playing tennis, there's always people, like, your coaches are always from all over the world, so it's pretty normal. But it's also cool because you always learn about these new things. Every trip, it does not matter. You're going to learn something new that these people do back home, and you just can't even imagine doing it here. So it's pretty cool.
As you go through that, what was the, how do you adapt to some of that, like, really trying to understand some, you know, not everybody has great English when they come over, trying to help them and understand them and really becoming friends with these people from different places?
It's definitely hard at first because I'm a sarcastic person, so the sarcasm barrier is kind of, is definitely there, but, like, over the years, it, like, people definitely adjust, and it's probably more of adjustment for them than it is for me because they're trying to adjust to, like, the culture here, and I'm not trying to adjust to a new culture, really, that much.
Was tennis something that was always part of your life, or when did you really start playing tennis and think it could be something that you could be good at?
I think I was, like, 4 or 5, and I saw my older sister playing, and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna be better than her. And that was that started it all. And then ever since I was like 7, I like started competitively playing, and I was like, yeah, and I was 9 or 10, I started beating my sister. So I was like, yep, I'm gonna do this my whole life.
When did you realize it could be a legitimate ticket to college and give you an opportunity to play at this level?
When I was 8. That's what I just knew, because that was like, that was the main goal then. And I realized if I just kept doing and like playing how I wanted to play, even at that young of an age, I could make it however I want to or wherever I want to.
You compete, obviously, a lot of people do, singles and doubles. Do you like one over the other?
It depends on the day I'm having, but I like both of them, like, especially starting with doubles and then like going into singles. It's definitely, it's nice. I couldn't imagine not doing both of them.
I always think it's tough as a competitive person. I always think it's easier to do something individual because you put all the pressure on yourself. You don't have to be frustrated about anything else. How do you find that balance of, you know, if it's not your day or if it's not your teammate's day, to fight through that?
Just having to remember that you are a team, even though it is an individual sport. Like, when it gets to doubles, this is a team thing, and that's what, like, you've learned your whole life to become, like, it builds up to. So I just, like, it's just a point at the end of the day. So it's at, like, and they're also just human beings. So no one's going to ever be perfect. So it's just, I go out there and hope for the best.
You're coming off of a really, really good season. I think you only lost 4 matches in singles, maybe, and only 1 in Summit League play. What worked for you this year? Why were you able to be so successful?
Because I, probably just because it's my senior year, and I was like, whatever happens, happens. And whenever I go out onto the court, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go out there and win the last point because I have nothing else after this. So what's the worst thing that can happen?
I know the goal was obviously to go on to the Summit League tournament and find a way to have success there. But your team did a lot of cool things, including a couple of wins over Big East teams. How special was that to be a part of a team able to, win a lot of those matches?
It was really cool. It was it definitely hurts more that we couldn't go to the tournament, but at the end of the day, it's like we did a lot of great things together. So there's those cool memories that we get to look back on, and we don't have to like dwell on like our mistakes because together we made like bigger things happen.
Was it last year? I think it was last year that USD was runner-up in the regular season and the tournament. So that was really, really cool. What was that like to be a part of?
That was also really fun. And even though, like, we didn't do that this year and we had it last year, it's like this, you get to, like, experience both the feelings. And, like, that feeling, like, it makes you feel makes you want to work harder even more the next year. So definitely it's a feeling I'll miss next year, not being able to play.
When you evaluate your game, where's your strength? Where's an area that you're always working on to get better and better?
My strength would be running. I can run a lot and get to every ball. But an area I get better at is maybe getting the ball, like hitting it harder so I don't have to run as much, because I'm basically, it's like cross country out there. I will run like 6 miles in a match. It's too much.
It's too much, but if you can get there and make a play, then that's pretty exciting. And sometimes you know how that goes. You start getting a little bit out of sorts one way or the other. You're going to be running the rest of that point, whether you win it or you end up losing it. Yeah. How do you try to balance yourself back out and get that, that particular rally settled down?
It's kind of bad. I just get there and whatever happens, happens. And I just make sure to get the ball back in so they can miss it, because my whole life I've been good at running and getting to the ball because I was always smaller than everybody else. So I just get it back up so it gives me some more time to get back and then do whatever it takes to win the point.
When you look at it, you're in a match and the other player's about to serve, what's going through your mind? What are you trying to, get yourself focused on to be able to receive the serve and put it in a spot that maybe will make it difficult for them?
This might sound bad, but sometimes I'm just standing there singing a song in my head, so I'm not too focused on what's going to happen. I just try to think of nothing so that I can, like, I have my mind clear, because sometimes I'll just, my mind will wander. So sometimes it's just a song, and whatever happens, happens.
So you've wrapped up your career at South Dakota. You look back on it. How would you describe your time here?
Shocking. That's what I would describe it as if I had to choose, like, one word for it. Because I wouldn't think I was, like, coming in my sophomore year here, I didn't think this is how it would be. But I'm grateful that it is how it is.
Lifelong memories and friendships for you, certainly. What's next for you? Can you pursue tennis beyond college?
I'm going to be a GA at a school down in Texas. So what I really want to do is coach. I love coaching, but, like, since tennis is a lifelong sport, I can always just go, like, anywhere and play tournaments and things like that.
Was there a moment or a situation that made you think coaching would be something that you could pursue?
Just being in college with, like, different people and, like, seeing how they coach, it's like it makes me want to do it more and more each time, because I see, like, how people get treated, like, even if it's, like, on different teams. And it's, like, I want to help those people. So, and when I coach in the summer times, it makes me also want to coach, because I see, like, kids that struggle, and I want to help them.
High school coaching, college coaching, have you thought much into that?
College, but, or, like, juniors before all that. So, like, advanced juniors, so that they can get the opportunities that I didn't get to have.
But you're smart going down to Texas where it's a little warmer.
Yeah, I'll be tan all year round.
Tan, got to work on that tan.
Yes.
Describe the match last Friday. A lot of people have talked about it. There were some extra people there to watch and kind of brought the intensity, if you will. What was that like to have your final match on the home courts at USD and with a crowd there?
It definitely was a lot of fun. It's not something I'm used to. I've only had a crowd like that once, and it was at my old school. And I just, every time something like that happens, it just feels so good as a player, because it's like, wow, these people are actually finally getting to see what we work so hard towards. But it's always nice because it's like my parents are always there. So, like, even if I get nervous with all those people there, I can still, like, look and see my parents, so it helps me calm down.
Parents always can help in that way. Well, good luck in the future. Good luck with the coaching venture. And I know a lot of people look forward to seeing the success you're able to have.
Thank you so much.
That is Grace Chaddick, who just wrapped up her Coyote career after 3 years after transferring to South Dakota from Central Oklahoma University. Before we wrap things up, let's take a look at what is going on in Coyote Athletics. It's a busy weekend for the track and field teams. They will compete over the next few days at different invitationals. They're competing in California. Four different meets we'll have athletes at. That includes the Brian Clay Invitational in Azusa in Long Beach, the Pacific Coast Invitational in Walnut, California, the Mount SAC Relays, And there will also be athletes at the Beach Invitational in Long Beach as well. So all of those over the next few days. If you want to check out those results, they'll be available at goyotes.com. Softball teams in action with doubleheader on Friday starting at 2 o'clock in Omaha. They will play a single game on Saturday. Those typically moved up this time of year because of Easter Sunday, so that's why it's a Friday-Saturday for Coyote softball, but softball 2 Friday, single game on Saturday. Women's golf begins play in the Summit League Championships on Sunday. That event is set to run Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And so we'll see how the women's golf team can do there. And then track and field will be in action next Wednesday at the Mount Marty Twilight as well, an evening event in Yankton. So they'll have some track athletes for that. And the others will get ready for the Drake Relays, which get underway next Thursday. That is a look at what is going on in Coyote Athletics. For, as always, a reminder, make sure you check out the schedule pages for the latest information. This time of year, you just never know with the old weather. So keep your eyes on the schedule pages and latest updates from the communication staff at USD. That's it for me this week. I'm John Thayer. Have yourself a tremendous weekend. As always, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to YoteCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.